So thank you for continuing to join us for our news at noon, our extended news at noon. And as we have been for the past couple of weeks, we've been ending our news broadcast up until 1 o'clock with an interview that I'm hoping is of interest to you. And today, I'm so excited to talk today to my guest because it's about mental health, and it's kind of like an oxymoron. I just was joking with him before we got onto the air today. I don't know if I'm calling you for help or for an interview, because this is just a crazy time right now, and mental health is something that's near and dear to me, and so I want to make sure that we talk about this issue as we go throughout the next many days. So Dr. Graham Standish is with me on the phone, and he is with Samaritan Counseling. Actually, he's the director of Samaritan Counseling. And Samaritan has quite a few different offices in Western Pennsylvania. But we wanted to talk to Graham today about mental health. How is this affecting all of us? So Dr. Standish, thank you very much for joining me today. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate being on here.
And this is something that when we're not even in a crisis or a situation like we're in, a lot of people don't like to talk about mental health. And now we're in a situation where I think it's even more important than it was before. Not that it wasn't important before, but can you talk a little bit about what makes us fearful? What causes the anxiety? Like, why do we feel the way we do right now?
Well, I'm going to go back to what you just said. I think in normal times, there's always been a stigma about receiving mental health. And yet, in a lot of ways, getting help for struggles you're having, it's no different than going to a doctor for symptoms of a virus or symptoms of something else. It's why wouldn't you go and get help from somebody who can help you get better and feel better and function better and all of that? You know, when it comes to this virus, I think that the real struggle of what makes us so afraid is our survival instincts just start kicking in times like this. People's minds race. What's the future going to hold? What's tomorrow going to hold? You see this in the stores. Is there enough toilet paper? You know, we've been surprised just by the fact that you can't get dishwasher.
Just basic items,
liquid,
yeah.
For the machine.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And it's really, yeah. But I think it's a survival instinct that kicks in. And part of what counseling does is it helps you get beyond your survival instinct to be able to think through things, to understand your emotions, and to make decisions. Do I want these fears and anxieties to control me? Or do I want them to be part of me, but be a normal part, not an extraordinary part?
I think the mind is an amazing thing, because when you say we have to choose what we're going to go ahead and go forward with in a day, one thing that I will say I personally dedicated myself, well, two things. One, I'm going to get dressed for work in the morning, even if it's jeans and, you know, a different shirt. And then the other thing is exercise. And it's interesting on how, yes, I'd still get dressed for work, of course, you know, before. But exercise, I don't like to exercise. And yet every day I get up, I think I am going to choose to put this in my day. And it's amazing on how our situational awareness causes us to make different decisions.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think you're talking about habit formation and forming good habits, because forming good habits is really crucial to both physical and mental and even spiritual health. It's not just getting up and getting dressed, you know, exercising. It's eating right. It is still talking with other people. It's, if you have a spiritual bent, it's taking time to pray and not doing panic prayer, but doing life prayers. You know, I'm going to plug a book, not one of mine, even though I have a bunch. It's a book called Atomic Habits by a guy named James Clear, and if people are able to download it, it's a wonderful book that talks about habit formation, and I've been suggesting it for people as they're homebound, because, routines and habits are one of the first things that go, and it doesn't make you feel better when you're overeating and sitting around too much and watching too much TV. And those things erode both physical and mental health.
is it okay that I feel the way that I do? And I know there's a range of emotions, but anybody that's sitting listening to you today, Dr. Graham Standish with us with Samaritan Counseling, I'm sure you've gotten the question many times. Am I okay if I feel the way that I do?
Well, yes. I mean, everybody, you just feel what you feel. It's not a question of, am I okay for feeling the way I do? It's, are these feelings having an influence that's constructive, destructive, or neutral? I think as long as the feelings are neutral or constructive, it's okay. It's when they become destructive. And what I mean by that is, it's when you feel anxious, when you feel afraid. I feel afraid. I feel anxious about all this stuff. You know, but the question is it now starting to become destructive? Is my anxiety starting to cause me to disrupt my relationships? Is it causing me to do things to numb it, whether it's over drinking or overeating? So it is just giving into those feelings and letting them control you. And this goes back to what I said about choice. We have choices. The point of therapy is actually to help you explore the feelings and then choices of how I'm going to live and respond to those feelings.
You were just mentioning a couple of items that I've heard called coping mechanisms. And I know when people talk about, you know, smoking, drinking, negative coping mechanisms, they typically will think of therapy. But aren't there positive coping mechanisms that we can do, like the exercise and eating healthy?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And I think this is where I was talking about habit formation. You know, creating new routines for this. I mean, one of the things that we've just done in our family is every evening or every afternoon, we take our dog for a walk, and then my wife and sometimes my daughter joins us. We then go on for an extra mile and a half walk together. And, you know, that's a coping mechanism that's actually really good. We've actually talked in our family about how do we make sure what we're eating is healthy. And we've talked about this even going to the grocery stores. Don't buy comfort food. You know, buy food that's healthy. And when you snack, move to healthier snacks. I think, you know, for me, it's been don't watch TV until after 6.
You know, right, so yeah.
I'm working from home just like everybody else, and it's very easy to slip into, you know, binge watching Tiger King or something like that. You know, there are choices and habits that are really healthy. You just have to make the choice to do them.
I do want to ask you about counseling right now and how we can go about doing that. But let me ask you this one question first. How am I supposed to feel, or how am I supposed to be reacting towards others? And those may be two questions, but I'm going to ask it as one. And the reason I say that is because I'll just talk from personal experience. If I'm watching national news, eventually I'm getting anxious over what I'm seeing. And that's not a knock on news. I've worked in the news industry for a long time. I'm just saying when you're feeding yourself all of this information, it can make you anxious. But then if I get away from it and I'm living in my own house and I try to cheer myself up, then I turn around and talk to somebody who's having a really difficult time with this. So it's almost like a roller coaster of, should I be happy today? Can I be happy today? Or should I be concerned? Because I know there are medical professionals out there right now on the front line.
Yeah, that's it. There's so many ways to answer this question. Here's what I would say. It doesn't matter whether it's okay or not okay with what you feel. You simply feel what you feel. I think you brought out something that's really important. You know, the news media, I'm not real big on the news media being fake or whatever. But all the news media is trying to give out accurate information. But the reality is their business is driven on getting people to feel anxious and to want more information. There's a certain balance that healthy people keep. And the certain balance is you get enough information to be rooted in reality, but you don't get so much information that you become obsessed with reality. You put yourself a bubble enough to be centered and to stay calm, but you don't do it so much that you deny. The struggle of really achieving a healthy life is that balance. And that's what's really difficult, because people tend to move towards extremes in everything. Healthy mental health, spiritual health, life health, everything is achieving that balance. So whatever you feel, it just is what you feel. But the question is, how do you maintain that balance? Watch enough news to be aware of things, but not so much you then start becoming obsessed with it and start getting caught up into it. Create a bubble enough to keep you centered and calm, but not just to a point where you're completely in denial. Hopefully that helps.
Yeah, Dr. Graham Standish with us with Samaritan Counseling, a number of offices around Western Pennsylvania. And Dr. Standish, I want to ask you how, if you can speak generally, I know you're not here as a spokesman for the entire industry, but generally speaking, how are offices like yours, or what are you doing at Samaritan Counseling? What are you doing right now to help individuals? Because if we're not in each other's physical space, we're social distancing. How do you help people right now?
Yeah, and I'm going to start with Samaritan, and then I'm going to shift to the industry. And so at Samaritan, we got caught just like everybody else with this. And over the course of a week, we shifted really quickly from doing face-to-face therapy to all video and telephone therapy. We are really fortunate. Our clinical director was already certified as a video therapy trainer. And so she was able to train our therapists within 2 days, and those who didn't have the technology equipment, we were able to get them to that in 2 days. So all 15 of our therapists throughout Western Pennsylvania were very quickly able to move from one-on-one face-to-face therapy in offices to now we're doing entirely video therapy so we can maintain social distance. What's been great is the federal government relaxed HIPAA laws, and that allowed more versatility for all centers to be able to offer video therapy. So most counseling centers have now moved to video therapy. We just found out yesterday that UPMC and Highmark are now waiving copays for video therapy. They're not only covering video therapy, but if you seek a therapist right now, what might be a $25 to $50 copay is waived if you're doing video therapy during this time. You see this, really it's been remarkable for me to see, because mental health is often the part of the healthcare industry, the medical community that's often kind of ignored and underfunded. And you've seen really a massive move by the federal government and insurance companies to start funding all this stuff to really help people, because I think there's a recognition. People are stuck in their homes and they don't know who to talk to. We and most other counseling agencies are available by video. I will do a plug for us. If you're interested and you do not have to be in the town that one of our therapists are in, you can be across the state of Pennsylvania, but if you go to SamaritanCounseling.net, SamaritanCounseling.net, we can hook you up with a therapist really very, very quickly. And other agencies are doing the same thing. It's been remarkable to see how quickly all these agencies have shifted. And last thought, our therapists at Samaritan, and I'm pretty sure this is true of therapists all over the place, when the crisis came in, virtually nobody said, I want to stop seeing my clients because I'm scared of getting sick. I know all of our therapists said, no, I'm going to see my clients, and I'll take on even more. And we had to tell them to go to video therapy, because a lot of our therapists were saying, you know, I'd like to just see them one-on-one. I'm not worried about getting sick. I really care about these people. And I think that's something you find in the mental health community that's really remarkable, is these are people who've committed their lives to making other people better, and they're doing it even more now during this crisis.
When you say the government has lifted HIPAA laws, should there be any concerns if an individual has not gotten into counseling that would like to get into counseling, whether it's with you or someone else, but they're hearing you talk and they say, okay, I'm going to make the phone call. Should they have any concerns that they are on a video chat now? Because some people are a little shy of using the, I don't want to say social media platforms because that's not what you're doing, but they're shy of technology that they don't know.
Yep. Our therapists train them in that. We use a HIPAA compliant platform, a video platform. So actually, no, it's encrypted, so nobody can actually get in and hear what's going on. They can't crack in and hear the sessions. When you contact our therapists actually give you guidance on how to set it up with your computer, what kind of room to be in, how to get privacy. And if you just don't have the technology, they will do it by phone. The key is we would prefer to do it by video because therapists pick up a lot of nonverbal cues when they're looking at a client. But not only that, clients pick up a lot of nonverbal cues when they're talking to therapists. So, you know, you can see a therapist leaning in and listening to you. On a phone, you can't tell when you've been talking for a while if they're still there. You're doing it by video, you can tell this therapist is looking at me, this therapist cares about me, this therapist is leaning in and thinking with me. So it's a we have all sorts of aids to help people figure out how to do the technology.
Doctor,
and it's not just us, everybody does.
Right. Dr. Standish, I just want to ask you one more brief question if I could before we leave each other today, and it has to do with the fact that before all of this happened, it seemed that we were all so intent on our phones and so intent on trying to get away from those around us. And now all of a sudden, we're just craving to give somebody a hug that is outside of our household. I mean, of course, hug the folks in your household. But, you know, it seems to be such a reversal that it's, I think, a bit of an awakening. Can you speak to that at all? What are your thoughts on that?
Help me with a question a little bit. Are you asking me about what do we do if we can't hug people?
Well, it's just, have you seen the difference? Have you seen the shift of before all of this happened, we just seemed to be having our nose in the phone, if you will, and we weren't even looking up. We were texting people because it was easier to communicate that way, right? Now, all of a sudden, we're on video chats and we want to call people. I mean, I called my sister the other day that I haven't talked to in, you know, a few months. And so it just seems like we're now craving what we were trying to get away from a couple of months ago.
Well, I think what it is people are recognizing how important connection is, how important touch is, how important, you know, just being able to be with each other and share. You know, there clearly are ways people are going about it. We had a video chat last Wednesday with 15 extended family members all across the U.S., which lasted like an hour and a half, and it was fun. But I think people are now recognizing what happens when you go to an extreme of disconnection from other people. Are social animals. I mean, we are creatures who are meant to be connected with each other, and, you know, we can't live in closets. And I think people are becoming aware of that. What I am really hopeful is when this is all over, this will not scar people into having social distancing being a permanent feature of their lives, because once it's over and we go back to normal life, you still need to be able to hug people, connect with people. Whatever passes for shaking hands on the other side of this, we need to be able to do that. I hope it's not just a fist bump, because that's really kind of impersonal. But other than that, okay,
yeah,
so,
and that
hopefully
might,
that answers your question.
And that might be a conversation we have to have once we get through all of this, is how do we get back into
that
a normal routine, you know? Dr. Graham Standish, very quickly, your website and phone number again, if people do want to contact you.
Website is SamaritanCounseling.net, and the phone number is 412-741-7430. And we have people who are available right now to take any kind of phone calls or any kind of inquiries. You do not have to live near one of our offices to do video therapy. You can be anywhere in Pennsylvania, and we can connect you with one of our therapists. And we have great, great, great therapists, as those in the area who have seen our therapists in Villanople or Butler or Newcastle or Bakerstown all recognize. We have wonderful therapists.
Dr. Graham Standish, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Tracy. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about this.
And folks, we are going to be back in just a couple of minutes. Actually, we're going to continue on with our day, if I understand this correctly. We'll play a few spots and we'll be back. But thank you so much for joining us for this extended news at noon. I'm Tracy Morgan with WISR 680 AM.